You know, I've always said it's because of the women of the church that keep us going, and I am so grateful for the women. But I want to tell you about the women who came to find that big stone rolled away. Now, the resurrection story in the Bible can be found in many different writings. You can find some of it in Paul's writings, the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, Luke, and even in the Gospel of John. And they all tell the same story, but from a different perspective. And I wanted to share with you a different perspective than I read in Luke's Gospel, and it's in Mark's Gospel. And this is what it says. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who's going to roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered into the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Oh, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. But he has risen. He is not here. Look and see the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's gone ahead of you into the Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. You know, it's the many stories of the stone that was rolled away and how important stones are to the salvation story. Many times God's referred to in the scriptures as a surgeon. Oh, what do you mean by surgeon, preacher? Well, at the heart of the story in Ezekiel's passage is perhaps that he is more like a stone worker, not just a potter, but a sculptor, an architect, an archaeologist, and an artist. So it seems when one looks at a relationship in the metaphors of the rock or stone in the resurrection story and those other times in scriptures, we see the same metaphor used. Now, whether it was at Gilgal or the many other altars or wells that was built to God in the Hebrew scriptures, stones were frequently used to honor God. However, we are told to make his way straight for the coming of the Messiah. Remove the stones from his path so that the stumbling stones from his mission so that God's final act can be revealed. Unsealed and revealed. Now that's perhaps the story of the stone or the rock in the resurrection story. It's God's victory complete in the breaking of the seal which reveals God's final plan for resurrection and life. Now, last week we looked and we talked about how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and he retorts the Pharisees who challenged him that the stones themselves would be witnesses of his disciples and they would not be quiet. So the idea of stones as witnesses is one that seems to be the key of the resurrection thinking. I think, interestingly enough, when the angel moved the stone, two things happened. Because it was the angels that moved the stone, Jesus' living temple was born, and all that was dead had come to life. The guards were so terrified, they became petrified, like a rock. The rock not only unseals the tomb, but provides the opportunity for key witnesses to see proof of the resurrection. The rock indeed is the getaway to witness, just as Jacob rolled away the stone from the mouth of the well so that Rachel's flock could be watered, so too now will Jesus' disciples be free to care for Jesus' flock. What did he tell them? Feed my sheep, Peter! What a prior way of an engraved and a stone which is now engraved on the hearts of humankind. No more commandments written in stone. No, instead the stone is rolled away and the new commandment is given. Love one another. For he is risen and he has now written himself in the hearts of all of Christ's followers. It says that in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God said, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Praise be to God. So that stone rolled away And we are recreated in Jesus as new creatures, reborn in the Spirit, just as Jesus is resurrected in the flesh. And what happens then? We leave our prisons of hard-heartedness and we enter into an organic living garden again at the resurrection moment. Just as Pharaoh's heart was hardened, defied God, now the guards at the tomb will tremble at their hearts are moved by the miracle of rebirth. The angel, another name for the presence of God, or the Shekinah, sets upon the stone. And much of that angel who guarded the entrance of the Garden of Eden after the fall. But now, you know, I like the buts and the ifs and the buts. The gates have been reopened, and that rock became the foundation of God's spiritual temple. And as the woman asks, who's going to roll away the stone? I think their question is answered. Only God. So when asked about the process of sculpturing, sculpture of David, Michelangelo replied that, hey, just going to remove everything that's not David. I like that, because in a sense, that's what God does for us as well. And it's the message of the resurrection, not just life, but a return to authenticity of the removal of sin, rebirth, just like in baptism, and evil made beautiful. Can you imagine? Evil make beautiful. That's what God does through the resurrection and moving of that stone. God removes us from everything that isn't originally human, as God created us to be. And when that happens, we see anew. We behave as new creatures, and God writes His name upon our hearts, and we become truly His. The stone or the rock metaphor that I've been using in this particular story has more than meets the eye. But witnesses begin with the seeing and ends with the story. As we see, we too become living stones of a never-ending story of Jesus Christ.